Welcome to the 57th episode of the Parents Initiative Podcast. This is your host, Leo Colon, and I have our co-host, Rebecca, with us.
Hey, 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 everyone.
I'm going to congratulate you for taking the time to listen. You could be doing something else, but you chose to listen to this podcast, and we believe that you're going to get some great value today. Yes. In this moment, you're going to get some great value because we have a special guest. Why don't you introduce our special guest, Rebecca?
Well, we have the one and only Carol Hips with us. And I met her probably about almost 5 years ago at an event with what we do as entrepreneurs. And I loved her excitement for life. She is a little bit like me. I found a common ground. She likes to be unique in how she dresses. And if you know me and you follow me on social media, you know that I'm someone who likes to find the cutest things that is a one of a kind. And so I love that Carol is a one of a kind woman, and she inspires other women to be their best selves. And so I'm excited about having her join us. She's a wife, mom, business owner, entrepreneur, nurse, all these things wrapped up into one. And we're excited to have Carol Hips.
Well, what an introduction, Rebecca. I was just, you know what? I'm already taking notes. I'm already writing things down that you're saying, by the way. you wrote something that already hit me, like that one of a kind. I'm like, gosh, everybody that's listening to this is made special. And we're all just one of a kind and unique. And we were talking a little bit before starting the podcast about how special you guys are. So I'm super excited to be here with you.
Awesome. We're excited to have you. It's just, it's really cool to not only do business with you, but to be your friend. It really is. You're always the same, whether you're on a stage or laying by the pool.
That is so right.
Well, in the middle of this, I'm going to inject here because I feel like a love fest going on here. I'm like, I'm just sitting over here. But, you know, Carol, I've been wanting to have you on. I mean, we've been talking about this for about almost a year.
Yeah.
We were part of a team training at one time, and you shared some things. And you were talking about just being a mom and trying to balance things. And I was next to Rebecca, and I said, Rebecca, we really got to have her on.
Yeah.
And then you know how it is. Life happens. A thing called COVID happens. And it's just a lot of things just going on. But why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Mm-hmm. And then we'll go from there.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm a firm believer in balance, but I haven't always had it. So just a little bit about me. So I don't even know if you guys know some of this stuff, but so I was raised in Arkansas, still live in Arkansas. I was raised in a very small town. I just went over on Instagram, did a live video because I've never done that. I've never been live on Instagram. As long as I've been an entrepreneur, I've never been live on Instagram. So I went and did that. And I was just talking about how I wasn't really raised in a home that was not, I don't want to say conducive to dreaming. It was just, you know, I had the mom and the dad. They worked hard. I started working at 14. My dad is still, I'm going to tell my age. I'm almost 39. And my dad is still on the same job as he was prior to me being born. So it was just like this normalcy, what I would say, you know? And so I grew up in a small town, went to nursing school, and thought that was going to be, you know, my life. And it was a big portion of my life. I worked for 12 years as an RN, learned a lot about people, learned how to love people, learned how to build relationships, learned how to work with people. Then I started having babies. And so my girls now are actually almost 16. The middle one is 11. And then my youngest will be 5 soon. And that little 5-year-old is huge catalyst for me to say, what if there could be better balance and maybe even me being able to be an entrepreneur, work from home. I've been trying some things over the years. And she was my little catalyst that caused me to walk away from 12 years of nursing. And that was hard. So yeah, we still live in Arkansas, got the babies, we're sports parents, we travel, we're going this afternoon to a game, it's about an hour and a half from here, but I really believe in the power of, you know, moms being fully present, but also being able to provide in ways that maybe are maybe even a little bit outside the box.
And how'd you, so you had that transition that took place, and I know that, you know, you mentioned that you were a nurse and you also had a kid at the time. and just trying to balance all that things. And then you made that transition to working from home. Now, you know, for people that follow us, they may not know obviously everything that we do when it comes to business wise, but just, I know that you grew a massive business and you made a lot of impact. And, you know, when you shared about finding that balance, so like, what are some things that you have done to find that balance and just navigating that? Because I know you, in the middle of growing this business, you were sharing your heart about your business with people in the bathroom, mm-hmm. holding your baby at the same time. And there mm-hmm. are moms out there, they're like, they're trying to find that balance. How did you navigate that?
You know, what's interesting, Leo, about that question is I was navigating this business life and the balance, not very well, but I was doing this years ago. So like my first business opportunity was in 2009. I decided I was going to be a photographer. I didn't know anything about photography. I just thought I love the creativity behind it. I bought a camera because I just had my second daughter. You know, I went from single mom to, you know, with this business, went from single mom with two children to, you know, blending a family, which has been another process in and of itself. But at that time, I was looking for an income opportunity to maybe potentially get out of nursing. But I could not just leave nursing, right? So I had to balance that daughter in kindergarten, a baby on my hip, even in that business, I would take her with me. Mm-hmm. Then I opened a brick and mortar boutique because, you know, again, just constant things in my head that I was just trying. And I remember running the cash register. This was before online boutiques were cool. Yeah, if there's ladies listening, you know, you can buy anything you want on Amazon or in a boutique. So I was doing brick and mortar. I was in basically a building selling things that we had handmade, running a cash register, answering a regular phone. Okay. So I had a regular phone in there and I was running a cash register and Conley, who's now 11, was literally on my hip. And I laughed about this one thing that happened one time. I went to her dad and I was like, where's the baby? Because I was so used to her being on my hip and me doing everything. She was on my hip. She was literally on my hip. I was like, oh my gosh, like the child is on my hip. I was so panicked about where was she? Because, you know, again, I was burning the candle at both ends, working my tail off and trying to build these other businesses. She was just my little sidekick, you know, while the other one was in school. But I think the transition for me was just a decision of like, if I'm going to go all in on entrepreneurship, I've got to let some things go. Otherwise, I won't ever have balance, you know. But some things that I did, I would say, was, which is still very hard for me, is asking for help. You know, just something that simple, like asking for help from my husband. You know, my mom is a big portion of helping us now. So I think the biggest tip that I could say would be asking for help, and also step away sometimes, not from parenting, not from being a mom or a dad, but step away from whatever it is that you're trying to create just to refresh yourself at times, because I'm not good at creating when I'm tired or not sleeping well or burnt out. And so I feel like if I can step away and take that refresher, I'm always better for it.
So like, you know, you were talking about that busy season, asking for help, stepping away just a few moments ago. Can you speak, and this is kind of probably a hard question, maybe not for you, but can you speak on the guilt that some moms may feel in that busy season?
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, you may be asking for help, you may be stepping away, but you still have those moments where you feel like you may be neglecting. What are some ways that you dealt with that?
Especially as a single mom too.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Even when I was a single mom, I was so strategic. There was this one time that I had this business opportunity that I would work Monday through Friday in my nursing job. And then just so desperately wanted to provide a Christmas for my children that they were used to and had been thrown into being a single mom. And I was just figuring it out. But I strategically worked on the weekends when they weren't there. They never knew I had a second job. I just strategically did that. But the guilt is real. You know, I used to think, oh, mom guilt, that's not a thing, you know. And that's probably something that I had heard from other people. And I was just like trying to make myself a believer that mom guilt wasn't real. But the average mom probably feels guilt with or without a job. They probably feel guilt with or without an entrepreneur life. They probably feel that anyways. I know that I have, just constantly curious if you're doing enough. for your family if you're doing enough. And sometimes, let's be real, like I feel beat at the end of the day, just managing mom life, work life, and all of that. You know, I think the biggest thing, and I don't know if this is like going to help anybody, hopefully it will, I structure my family time and make sure that, like, even right now when I'm with you, whatever I'm doing, I'm fully attentive. So my cell phone is turned over. It was one of the biggest habits that I decided to create, was like, no, I don't want my kid coming to me and saying, Mom, you're always on your phone, because that has happened. Mm-hmm. So for me, when I'm scheduling intentional time with them, I'm very strategic with that. My phone is down. I'm eye-to-eye contact to make sure I'm having that conversation, because even if it's 20 to 30 minutes, that's helping me be like, okay, I just spent 30 minutes with my daughter. I just spent 30 minutes with all my girls. Now it's time to put my head down and accomplish what we have set for our family.
So how do you, okay, so break down the typical day for Carol Hips. Like, you know, you have, now, and I know that in our line of business, that's kind of crazy sometimes, but like typically, like for that mom out there, that do you homeschool your kids?
No, my older two are in public school and my youngest is home with us.
Okay, so how do you, let's just say this, how do you navigate having the younger one home, just your typical day? For those busy moms out there that maybe need some structure or some ideas on how to do things.
Yeah, well, one thing I found is that my mornings and my nights are very sacred to me. So like in the morning, I used to just get up and go directly to my phone. I just don't do that anymore. You might see me put, you know, some content out on social media early in the morning, but it's really because I strategically prepared it the day before. Yeah. But my mornings are totally with my daughters, getting up, helping them with breakfast, getting them out the door. I take them every morning to school. I do not actually start any like official business type stuff or anything until about 9 a.m. But one of the things that I do with Ray, she's in there right now. She's in the living room with my mom. So my mom is here. She's my full-time help. And she's like, it's so great because we get to afford her a lifestyle to be paid to be a grandma, you know? But I will make sure, one of the things that I've always done as she's been growing, she's grown up in entrepreneurship, by the way, Ray Lynn has. She's not known anything else but both of her parents actually being home. So I'm strategic. Like when we get done with this, this is important, right? But when we get done with this, I will open the door. She'll come in here and I will probably do what she calls snugging. That's cuddling. So we'll have some time like that. I stop every day, you guys, every day at 3 o'clock is my last appointment until maybe I need to do a couple things in the evening, because I want to be home. I want to be present as soon as my kids get home from school. These are things I used to not do that led to burnout. And honestly, if I'm not able to spend time with my kids and really, you know, maximize why I'm doing this, which is to be fully present with them, then it wouldn't be worth it.
Right.
So just finding those little strategic ways. Also bedtime. I'm just not an entrepreneur that steps into bedtime. That's when I pray with my daughters. I put them down. We have structure. The other thing that a lot of people may not know about me, and I don't know who all will end up listening to this, but my middle daughter has had childhood insomnia and anxiety her entire life. She's 11. She never was able to wear like regular clothes. It gave her too much anxiety this past year. And I put this out online, was the first year she'd ever worn jeans with a button. So we've battled a lot. And one of the things I'm not willing to sacrifice is creating, you know, more anxiety for my children from separation. So nighttime is very sacred. And so are the mornings. And so are just intentional breaks with them. And I do dates with my kids. A notable thing for those moms that are listening, one thing I started doing, this might help for like a present idea. I did like a date box for each of them. So every month they get to open that box and it's like a surprise for them. And I give it to them at Christmas. And it was the favorite gift of 2019. So we did it again.
That's awesome.
I love that.
That's really cool. Now, some people probably listening is like, okay, Carol, like how can you be done at 3 o'clock? Like, how is that even possible? But you had a season that it was crazy, that it was busy and you paid a price, but now you have that time freedom that most people, I would just say, envy, right? Now, where there's a time, was there a time that you sat down with your kids and said, hey, mom really needs to work hard?
Yeah.
for later on so that we could have more freedom later on. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, and I still do some evenings. I don't just get off at 3 o'clock all, you know. I think I'm just very strategic with the work that I am doing. There's a couple of evenings where they know, mommy, here's another thing that you just brought to my mind too, Leo, in that topic. There's a couple of evenings where I'm on video conferences, you know, I'm doing Zooms or things. And that's when Ryan steps in and he takes them to pick up dinner that way. So what we've done is we've just developed a system where they don't feel like they're even really missing me, because while mommy's on the Zoom, you know, taking care of my clients, you know, our team that we work with, they're just out picking up dinner. And by the time they get home, mom's ready for dinner. They don't even think that they've missed anything, you know? So we've strategically, as business partners, parents and husband and wife, developed that as well. But oh yes, there's definitely a season, and I would not say I'm out of a messy season, by the way. I have two businesses, not just one. We're also looking into other things like real estate. You know, Ryan has some dreams that he wants to accomplish himself. And so I think that there will be a time where you have to go all in and have that conversation. One of the things that I always tell my girls is, do you remember the times? Like my older two remember these times, right? They remember daycare. They remember, you know, things like mommy working a little bit more than I do now, even. Raylan doesn't. But I'll sit down with them sometimes and be like, hey, you know what? Mommy doesn't miss any of your basketball games. Not one. You know, I don't miss any of your school parties when we were able to have them. You know, Conley got cool kid this week at school. Now, we weren't able to come to that because of COVID at the time of this playing. You know, we're dealing with all that. But other times, I never missed any of that. In the last almost 5 years, you guys, like, I was at all the school parties. I was able to volunteer, do all the things. So I just have to gently remind them of that sometimes, and that mommy's not in the hospital working 12 hours or more anymore, you know?
Well, as you brought up Ryan, your wonderful husband, can you speak to how long you guys have been married? You know, a little bit about your story as far as becoming a blended family.
Yeah, that's a special story. It really is, you know. And sometimes it can be even a little uncomfortable still talking about it, just because fear of judgment, you know. I don't know if anybody listening to this can relate to that, but we've been married almost 6 years. And the story is so impactful to me even now thinking about it, because guys, I tested every ounce of patience that man had, because I had two daughters already and they knew only their dad, you know. And when I got thrown into this new life, whatever, my youngest was only three. Mm-hmm. And at the time, and I had kind of met Ryan, but just made sure that he was going to be the right one, because my kids were just not going to be around anyone else. So the only male figures they've ever had in their life were their dad and Ryan. And I wanted to make sure of that. But I, you know, and you guys know me, those listening may not know me, but I'm pretty structured. And there was this one time that I told him to get on my calendar. I may or may not have done that, but I was testing him, you know, to like, see if you're going to be like legit, because I need someone that's legit if they're going to be in my kid's life. So yeah, we dated for a couple years, proposed, we got married. The biggest thing with us as a blended family was he did not have children. So when we say blended family, it was me and two daughters blending with him. And, you know, he wanted children. And I'll never forget a moment where I just felt like I was not going to have any more children. I'd already been through some things. I had a daughter, like I said, that had childhood insomnia. At the time we were dating, we didn't know that. We just thought she didn't sleep. Like, I didn't know she had any of these things. I just, through the stages, I just felt like, okay, this is normal. She's, you know, she's an infant. Like, sometimes they don't sleep. Oh, she's a toddler. Sometimes they don't sleep. Oh, she's like preschool age. Sometimes they don't sleep. But then we get into like school age and it becomes very apparent we might have an issue. So I'll never forget, I was living in a 2-bedroom apartment. We were dating. He lived in his own space. I had the girls there. And we sat down and had a serious conversation where I said, I just don't think I can have any more children. And literally, guys, he like hung his head. But he stayed with me. And God just changed my heart over it. And, you know, we got married and very quickly Raylan was on the way. And we had her in 2016. I cannot imagine any of our lives without that child. So I'm so thankful God did soften me and not be like damaged from the past.
Yeah.
And just be able to move forward. So yeah, she's our little catalyst. That's what I always say. She's our little catalyst to a lot of things in our life.
It seems like that in that moment, healing and restoration began to take place.
Yeah, totally.
Ooh, that's amazing. So how do you feel leaving nursing behind as far as your everyday profession, you know, something that you poured your heart and your life into to become a caregiver? Speak to that a little bit.
Yeah. You know, it was hard at first because I went from punching a time clock and knowing my exact duties in my job to like, oh my gosh, now I'm a mom and I've got to tell myself what to do every day. This is weird. And it was quite the transition. And, you know, the thing for me was in deciding that was, you know, I was capped out on my income. I had been there for 12 years, missing out on a lot of things, you know, in life. And again, capped out on my income. So I was burning the candle at both ends, even though people think nurses make all this money and maybe some of us do, you know, did do pretty well, but it was still constantly a rat race, like negative in the bank. I mean, I would have to balance the bank, the checkbook, to even go to the grocery store sometimes. And even, especially as a single mom. So now having been gone, gosh, raised five, almost five. So I left the week before I had her. So I've been out of nursing for 5 years, basically. And I don't know. I don't miss it at all. I know that sounds crazy, but I just don't. There for a moment, I was like, okay, you know, kind of miss the normalcy, knowing what I need to do. I just do not miss it at all. I think because my purpose has been replaced. That was a season, and now I'm just being used in way more impactful ways, even in the 12 years. And so I can be grateful for that 12 years, but even more grateful now for this season, because, you know, in nursing, you only impact the people who are in front of you for that day.
Right.
You might leave some lasting impact, you know, like I delivered babies. So I feel like some of those stories are a little different. I think I probably still connect with some of those women, but yeah, the impact and the, it's just so much different as being an entrepreneur and also impacting my children, not relying on someone else to impact them.
Right.
Staying in childcare, you know, for me, that's our story. Yeah.
So like you're talking about impact, like how do you show up every single day to continue to make impact and continue to, you know, change all the lives that you're changing?
You know, if I were to say that was easy, I would probably be lying a little bit. So I'm not going to ever say that that's easy, but it's worth it. So I always think about anytime I get on anything, anytime I do anything, anytime I make a post, anytime I do a live, anytime I get on social media at all, anytime I'm doing anything like this, I'm like, who's that one person? I don't think about the thousands. I'm just like, man, who's that one person that just needs to hear that one little snip of my story that might not be super easy to share, but I know that it will impact them. So I think for me, Leo, it's just the fact of just like getting up every morning and saying, who's the one, instead of worrying about all the likes and all the comments and all the engagement. I just don't worry about that stuff. I think, who's that one person that might need to hear what I have to say today?
Right. And would you describe a little bit about what you do as far as an entrepreneur, what businesses you own, and how do you impact lives through those different ventures?
Yeah. So obviously, this is how we came to know each other, was through health coaching. So we have a health coaching, you know, business, and love that because, you know, as a nurse, you know, you don't have to be, as you guys know, you don't have to be a nurse to do what we do, or even in the medical profession. But what I've loved about it, it has been an extension of my nursing career to me. It's been an extension to be able to just care for people, nurture them, and all those things. And Ryan is so good at talking about this too, because he says, you know, when he was working in the automotive industry, he was top notch. Okay. He will never tell you that, but he was top notch. People know who Ryan Hipsaw is. They come to him, they want his help, they want his advice. And he would always say, with our health coaching business, the beautiful thing is you can not always teach people to be top notch in automotive. And even in nursing, I could not always teach those skills that made me a really good nurse. because people just didn't always have that coachability, that teachability, or even the passion for it. And but with health coaching, what he loves about that and what we have both come to love is that I can pass that on to anybody.
Yeah.
There's normal moms out there that just want some extra income. So that's one reason why I do love what you would call network marketing or direct sales, any types of ventures like that, because I feel like it's a way for those of us who are normal people to just get out and make, you know, a bigger impact. And then on the other side of that, we do own our own business. It's called Relentless Pursuit. So we have all encompassing title there, so we can pursue whatever it is God puts on our heart. And the recent thing has been business coaching because of my passion helping others. But like I mentioned, I'm gonna get into real estate and helping people find homes, and I don't even know like all of what we're gonna end up doing.
You got a relentless pursuit.
Right. It's always, I mean, everything. I have shirts that say relentless. I have a sign that he made. It's kind of like what sticks out while we're, you know, obviously the audience can't see, but I see fearless right between your heads.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, so that tells me that Leo and Rebecca are fearless, you know, and that's what we have everywhere. It's like in my closet, which used to be my office, by the way, you guys, you don't have to have fancy things to build a business. Mm-hmm. I've done it with my cell phone. Worked in my bathroom for 8 hours a day sometimes. Don't even really have an office. This is a desk in my bedroom. So I don't, you know, but in my closet where I did work for a long time, right behind me, it says Relentless Pursuit. I just have that constant reminder that whatever God puts in my heart today, that I'm just going after it.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to, a lot of people in our audience may not know this, but you've openly shared how you had a season that you had to kind of, I guess you could say, reinvent yourself or kind of refocus. Can you speak to those moms that probably find themselves at, I guess you could say, a quote unquote dry season, maybe are just, you know, they're chasing after things, but they're just chasing and not really getting anywhere per se, I guess you could say. Is that?
I feel spent.
Yeah. You know, and again, I don't ever try to say the right things. I just try to say the real things. And so one of the things that comes to my mind when you ask that question is when we're chasing things, right? Sometimes we may be chasing them in the way that someone else would. So for instance, Leo, before we got on here, you're talking about CrossFit. Now I will tell you, if Carol Hips were to go out and do CrossFit, I'd probably kill it because I'm just like that. But it's really Leo's thing. Because I even said to you, Leo, well, why are you doing CrossFit? Because in my head, I'm like, why is Leo doing CrossFit? I'd never do that. Do you know what I'm saying? But here's the thing. I can't come and show up and perform at the level that you can perform in CrossFit because it's not my thing. I'm not passionate about it. I don't want to do it. You know, I ordered a Peloton for a reason because I want to be told what to do and ride a bike and do all of whatever the Peloton's going to do for me. I'm sure it's going to just make me look 40 and fabulous pretty soon. But to those moms and those women, I think sometimes we find these people that we really look up to, right? We watch them and we're like, oh, I want to do what they're doing. And I found myself in a season of doing what they were doing. You know, I found the people I was looking up to, and I love that they gave us vehicles in our life, but I found myself almost reinventing myself in a way that was not unique to me. So the biggest thing that I would say is the thing that happened for me, you guys, in 2019 was I realized I just took a quick reflection of everything that was going on around me. And I realized that I was chasing dreams that were not mine. I was going after these big fancy homes that I cared nothing about. I mean, I might get a little emotional right now. I'm covered in cold chills. So I feel like I'm on the right path with what some of these people might need to hear. But I feel like I was chasing dreams that were not mine. I was going after goals that I cared nothing about. And I was burning myself out, burning the candle at both ends, chasing something that I probably would have never caught. You know? So I had to sit back and say, okay, instead of trying to be someone else or post like someone else wants me to post, I'm just going to be real versus right. Like, okay, if someone else doesn't think this is right, cool. I'll just be who I am. You know, and so I think the biggest thing is finding those people you look up to and honor that, but don't try to be that. You have to really say, what are my things, and really pursue those things in the fashion that is unique to who you are.
That's so good.
Why don't you speak for that, Rebecca? You're over here about to cry. No, yeah. I'm not trying to call you out, but like, why don't you speak to that?
I would get emotional because watching you go through that season really inspired me to really take a glance in at me. And I have never heard you say what you said just now in the way you said it. But I have this in a couple of places in my office. The world needs my best strength. And I wrote that down and didn't just write it down, but every day I say, okay, who does the world need to show up today? It needs to be, I'm looking at in the mirror, and it needs to be the real person, the real me. And so I love that you talk about not checking all these boxes just because other people tell you to, but say, okay, how can I be the best me? Because it's less exhausting trying to be something that you're not and trying to be someone that you're not. And so love that, learning what we can glean from other people and say, okay, what can I do to make myself better and to show up to like the world needs me to show up.
I think this is a good moment for us to transition.
Yes, absolutely.
To close, somewhat close on this note. So Carol, what would you say to moms out there that are trying to quote unquote hustle, trying to make things happen? What's some encouragement?
And also maybe speak to the dads out there that maybe feel like they don't find a place, all that encompassed together.
Yeah. Well, one of the things is, and I always tell people, just step outside of what seems to be normal. Mm-hmm. You know, like, honestly, Rebecca, I'm looking at you and you got this super cute hat on. You guys, sorry, you can't see the super cute hat, but I immediately, can I tell you what went through my head when I came on this exam and saw that? I was like, I wish I could wear that hat. No, seriously, like I thought, I wish I could wear that hat. It just would not look as cute on me. I started going through all this self-doubt, right? You got to think that women and men go through this period of self-doubt multiple times in a day. And so my biggest encouragement was for anyone listening, whether it's a male, female, whoever you are, you can build the life that you want that maybe doesn't look normal to other people. And you can also do that by getting up every morning and making a decision. One of the biggest things that I say to people is, you know, and this is what I have to do every day, because I don't have to keep pursuing other businesses. We're quite successful in one business, but I don't have to keep pursuing other businesses. But the reason why I do that is because my goal is impact, not income. But when you impact, you will have income. So helping people understand that, you know, being outside the norm is kind of a cool thing. Like, I'm just all about, like, let's just be outside the norm. But getting up every morning and asking yourself this one thing, I think would be the last little golden nugget I might would share. This is my mind. This is my opinion, right? But, like, who am I saying no to today if I don't pursue what I really feel compelled to pursue? So many people push that. They have that nudge inside them all the time. They do, but they push it down because it's not normal. You know, it's not what normal people would do. So they suppress that. So I would say, if you're feeling that, ask yourself, who would I say no to? Who would I be saying no to if I didn't pursue this? And instead of suppressing it, reveal it and work towards whatever that feeling is.
Good stuff. Awesome. So how can people connect with you on social media?
Well, it's pretty simple. I'm over on Facebook, Carol Hips. I do have a website, www.carolhips.com. You can connect with me there, but really Facebook, Carol Hips, Instagram, Carol Hips. If you're on Clubhouse, Carol Hips, that's how you find me, HIPPS. So
I love it.
Love it, girl. And listen, we thank you for joining us. It's I know you have a lot going on and trying to balance all the things that you balance, but you set aside some time for our audience and for us as well. And we're truly grateful for that.
Yeah, thank you for depositing some golden nuggets today and inspiring others to do what we should do, and that's pursue our best selves.
And if you're listening to this, we need you to rate this episode, review it, share it, join our community on Facebook and Instagram, and invite other people to come along.
Would you like to have Parents Initiative presented in your church, your Bible study, or an event that you're hosting? Be sure to contact us through our website or social media pages. The links are found in the show notes.
Until next time.